Hey, we're going back into our Be the Church sermon series today. And so if you would, if you have a copy of the scriptures there at your place, go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 3. We're going to be starting that passage this morning. While you're turning there, let me remind you that in this Be the Church sermon series, we've seen Jesus raised from the dead. He is alive and doing well, and he's teaching his disciples about the kingdom of God. And they're asking, will this be the time that you restore the kingdom? Is everything going to be made right at this time? And he's like, you know, that's really not for you to know right now. What I need you to know is this, is that in a few days from now, you're going to receive power like you never imagined. The Holy Spirit's going to baptize you, and you're going to have power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the way around the earth. Are you in Acts chapter 3 yet? I'm trying to buy you some time here, all right? So they go back to Jerusalem. They wait. The day of Pentecost comes. The Holy Spirit falls down. Boom. They receive this power, and they are able to, right in that moment, receive power like they've never had before. They're able to speak in other languages and share the good news about Jesus and the mighty works of God. And many people came to know Jesus that day, the day that the church was born. And for a period of time after that, there's just this sweet season of life where they're all doing life together, taking care of each other, selling their possessions to take care of one another, and going out of their way to love others and to share the good news about Jesus. And the Bible says that day by day, people were being added to the number, those who were being saved. And then we arrive at Acts chapter 3, and that's a story that we're going to read today where Peter and John are heading up to the temple for their daily prayers, and they have an encounter with a dude who is who does not have the use of his legs. And so the title of our message today is actually Lame from Birth. So if you're taking notes, hope you are, Lame from Birth. Now, I've been called lame. That used to be my nickname in high school, believe it or not. Just kidding. So I'm one lame dude. As you can see, my jokes are pretty lame. My kids tell me that all the time. Hey, Levi. Hey, Maggie. Thank you. You know who I'm talking about. Dad jokes. But lame from birth. We're going to be talking about how God does this beautiful thing where he restores people, where he puts all the focus on Jesus, and where he calls people to repentance. And so let me pray for us, and then we're going to jump right in. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for restoring and setting things right. God, thank you that you put all the attention on Jesus so that we can know what he has done for us. And God, thank you that you call us to repentance so that we can receive forgiveness and be made new and receive a new identity in you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Acts chapter 3, boom, big story, big chapter. In fact, Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4 are all really part of one story. And so we're just going to cover Acts chapter 3 today, and then next Sunday we'll cover Acts chapter 4. And so we're going to take it in two parts. Today, really, we're going to take chapter 3 in three sections, which is really a chance to restore. And we see Peter and John able to, by the power of the Holy Spirit, restore this man to be able to walk. And then we also see a chance to represent. That is, Peter and John represent Jesus Christ. Even though they could have tried to take the credit for themselves, they don't do that. Instead, they represent Jesus. And then we also see a chance to repent, which is offered to the people that are listening to Peter preach. And so let me just warn you ahead of time, you're going to have a chance to repent today. I'm going to offer you that chance as well, so that if you don't know Jesus, you need to. So let's go ahead and dive into our story. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1 says this, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour." And so we learned in the last chapter that the early church, they were regular in their prayers. They would go up to the temple three times a day, and they would pray morning, noon, and night. And so Peter and John were heading up to the temple at the ninth hour, which is 3 p.m. They're heading up to the temple to the prayer time. And a man, verse 2, lame from birth, was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. And so here's a guy who is lame from birth. He has never walked. He's never been able to have the kind of freedom that most people have of being able to walk around, go where he wants to go. Instead, he has to be carried where he needs to go. And there's some people that are carrying him to his spot. You see, this man's profession is a beggar. That's what he is. He is somebody who professionally asks for money because that is all he is able to do. And so they bring him to the beautiful gate, which is on the eastern side of the temple. And as people would come up to the temple three times a day, he would call out and he would ask for alms or for money, for cash, so that he could sustain himself, so that he could support himself. And so that's what's going on right here in this passage, is that he's being laid there. And then seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And so they're like getting his attention, right? So this guy's calling out. We don't know if this guy is just busy trying to look at everybody and asking for alms. Alms, please. Hey, help. Can anybody help me? And then Peter and John, in that moment, I believe, were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they had probably passed this guy plenty of times before, right? Because we learn in the next chapter, Acts chapter 4, verse 22, that this guy was over 40 years old. And he has been laid daily at the temple gate. People know him. They've been walking in and out three times a day, especially if they're using the same gate. They're familiar with passing by this guy and seeing him there. And in fact, if this guy is 40 years old, and he is over 40, there's a very good chance that Jesus has actually walked past this guy as he was doing his ministry in the temple. And it's really interesting that this guy, up to this point, even though the apostles had walked by him, even though Jesus maybe has walked past him, that up to this point, he has not been healed. He's calling out for alms. He thinks that what he really needs in this moment is money, is silver or gold, something to help him make it to the next day. He doesn't see what his greater need is, which is just to be healed of his infirmity. And so Peter and John, for whatever reason, this is the day that the Holy Spirit has predetermined ahead of time that they're going to receive this power to be witnesses. And that's why they're receiving the power. They are receiving this power not just so that this man can be healed, but they're also receiving this power so that they can be a powerful witness to Jesus Christ. They have a chance to restore. You see, a man being crippled, lame from birth, is not the way it's supposed to be. So the first point in this message is that in this moment, there is a chance to restore. Peter and John are going to take that chance to restore this man at least part of the way to where he's supposed to be. You see, we live in a fallen, jacked up, messed up world. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Sickness, death, pandemic, virus, those are not things that were here in the beginning at the time of creation. But when sin entered into our beautiful world, it was cracked and shattered and broken. And even the earth itself is groaning, the Bible tells us, because of the curse of sin that has come upon this planet. Well, the curse has affected this man here as well. And here in this moment, we're going to get the opportunity to see the kingdom break through a little bit. The disciples had asked Jesus earlier, "Jesus, is this the time? Is the kingdom going to be restored?" Well, it's not going to be restored completely at this time, but we're going to see glimpses and glimmers of where the kingdom breaks through, and we get to see the Holy Spirit's power at work through the apostles healing people, which is really just kind of setting up or kind of putting a stamp of approval upon their ministry to say, this is the real deal. This is the establishment of the church. This is showing everyone that's paying attention that Jesus' church is here and we're establishing it with his power. So what do they do? Well, Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us. Pay attention right here. We want you to get what we're about to say. We don't want to be confused with anybody else. What we're about to say is important. and I want you to hear me loud and clear. I'm telling you this same thing right now. Pay attention. Listen up. Look at me. Here's what they say. Peter says, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And so Peter, right away, he has a chance to restore. He has a chance to help this guy be something that he has never been able to be before. You see, up to this point, this guy's identity, you have to think, has been that I'm that lame guy. I'm that crippled guy who's never been able to walk. I'm the guy that always has to be carried places. And sometimes we take on this identity that the world has given us or that we've inherited, unfortunately, because of whatever circumstances, and we believe that's the way we're always going to be. But we understand that as Christians, our identity is not achieved, it's received, right? Our identity is received from Jesus Christ because of what he has done for us, not because of what work we have done for ourselves. And that is a huge blessing to this guy because he is about to receive something that he did not work for, that he did not earn, but praise the Lord that the power of the Holy Spirit is about to change his life completely. So what happens is he says, hey, in the name of Jesus Christ. So Peter's not taking the credit. He's not saying, I'm about to heal you. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And Peter had a great amount of faith because he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. Boom, right away he was restored. Peter took the chance to restore. God did his powerful work in this guy's legs, and his legs were restored, and he began to walk and enter the temple with them, and walking and leaping and praising God. So everything was changed in an instant, right? So this guy, in one moment of time, was laying down on the ground, could not get up, could not change anything about his entire life, daily was being laid here at the gate, and then in one moment, God changed everything, and he rose up off the ground, began jumping around, leaping, and this wasn't just like, hey, I'm learning how to walk again. Well, he never did walk, but I'm learning how to walk for the very first time, and my legs are weak, and I'm have no. Right away, he went from 0 to 60, right? He's leaping, jumping, praising God. And I can just imagine that if that was me or you and God had changed our life in that way, that we would be leaping and praising God and thanking these dudes and being so grateful. And of course, he sticks with them and he walks into the temple, because if you've just been changed by God, you're probably going to want to go into the temple and praise God there. And that's what is happening in this situation. So, leaping up, he stood and began to walk and enter the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And get this, they recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. They had seen him so many times in his spot at this gate doing his thing, and they recognized him as the guy who was doing that. And right away, they were amazed, because they were thinking, wait, this does not compute. This is not what we remember. How in the world did this happen? And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. That is what happens when God changes people. When God restores people, when he changes their heart, when he changes their body, when he heals them, whether it's physically or spiritually, he's doing a restoration work in their life. Peter and John were being the church in this situation by ministering to this guy and building up the church. You know, you and I today are still called to build up and restore people. I know many of you, as you've turned in your two-minute testimonies, for instance, have shared stories about how God has used you in your neighborhood to minister and to restore people, to be a blessing to people. And so we want to take that opportunity as a church to still minister, love, care. We don't want to be in a situation where we're just going up to the temple and we're turning a blind eye to people that need help. Don't turn a blind eye to people that are right around you that are hurting and that are struggling with who they are and not sure of the identity that they're supposed to have in this life. Instead, we need to be people who are about restoring, because you and me as believers are people that have been restored. And we should be willing, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to offer that same restoration to other people. Not that we could do that in our own power, but that God wants to do that through you, because He's called you to be His witness. What else do we see? Well, we see a chance to represent next, right? So Peter and John, they're going to go into the temple with this guy, and people are amazed, and they want to know what in the world has happened. So for you and me, that might mean sometimes when people try to give us credit for something that God's done, it can be easy to try to take that credit, right? Be like, well, thank you. Yes, yeah, well, you know, it was a little bit of God and a whole lot of me. Well, that's not the case. When God does His work, it's all God. When God saves people, it's all God. And so when God changes people, heals people, it's all God. And we should just be grateful and thankful that He saw fit to use us in some small way in His kingdom. So let's read the verses together, starting in verse 11. While He clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon. So this is Solomon's porch, Solomon's portico. This is this huge covered patio that runs along the whole eastern side of the temple there. And so it's kind of outside, but it's covered up at the same time. And so when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. And here's what he said. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? So they're like, wow, Peter, John, you guys are amazing. This is so cool. Can't believe you guys did this. We've known this guy his whole entire life. I've known this guy for 40 years. He sat at the same spot all the time. And now you've done this great thing. And Peter and John right away are not receiving the honor, the respect for this. No, what they want to do instead is they're going to take the chance to represent Jesus. And so that's what they do. And they're like, why are you looking at us? We didn't do this. Like, I don't have the power to heal this guy. I don't have the power to change anybody's physical body or their spiritual body. And so that is what you and I need to do as well, is we need to redirect. When you bless your neighbor, when you serve in this pandemic and you minister to other people, and people come back and say, hey, thank you so much, I needed that. Take that opportunity right there to redirect their focus, not to you, but to Jesus, and say, you know, the reason I did this, it's because of Jesus. You know, the reason that I even had the desire to do this, the power to do this, is because of Jesus. And so let's keep reading and see what Peter and John continue to say. He says, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified His servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. So he is relating to them and saying, hey, this is not us, but let me tell you who it is that has done this wonderful thing. It's Jesus. Remember Jesus? So if you think about it, guys, he takes them all the way back to the Old Testament. He just says, hey, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, that same God, this Jesus was His son, His servant, who came to this earth. Remember the one that we turned over to Pilate? That's the Jesus that has done this thing. We're representing Him. And verse 14 says, but you denied the holy and righteous one. And so he's building up Jesus, not by just identifying Him with the God of the Old Testament as His son, as His servant, but also as the holy and righteous one. And you asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. Kind of ironic there that he's saying, hey, this Jesus that was killed, that was crucified, he is actually the author, the pioneer of life itself. Without him, you and I would not even be here right now, living, breathing. And how ironic it is that this one who has given life has also laid down his life, and you've pushed him off to Pilate. And even though Pilate did not want to do it and offered you a murderer instead, you took the murderer and you allow this innocent man, this author of life, to be crucified. But guess what? He is now raised from the dead because he's the author of life. And so he's representing Jesus in a mighty and powerful name, in a mighty and powerful way. And that's what you and I should be doing, is just telling people who Jesus is. Not only that we are doing what we do because of Jesus, but also because Jesus is God, because Jesus is the holy and righteous one, because Jesus is the author of life. And we don't always know how people are going to respond. People in this story respond in a couple of different ways, right? Peter tells the truth about who Jesus is. Some people respond. In fact, what you'll see, spoiler alert, is that 5,000 people at the end of this receive Christ. But there's also a whole bunch of other people who reject it. And so the gospel does not leave people neutral. It really, a lot of times, most of the time, the gospel is either going to harden you or it's going to soften you. It doesn't leave you neutral. And so they're sharing who Jesus is, what he's done. And he says this, "To this we are witnesses," which is what we've been called to be, right? Jesus already said, "You're going to be my witnesses." And here they are being witnesses, representing Jesus. "To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all." And so they took the chance to restore, and then they also took the chance to represent Jesus because of the mighty thing that he had done. And they said, "The reason that this man has been healed and is here in perfect health in your presence is because of Jesus." Then they move on, right? This thing has happened. They love this guy. This guy's been restored. They don't take the credit for what's happened. Instead, they represent Jesus. And then they put out there this call to repent. So there's a chance to repent for the people that are listening. What does it mean to repent? Well, if you're listening right now and you don't know what that word is, you're not familiar with that word, to repent basically means to turn around, right? So you are heading in one direction in life. You've always gone this way. You've always done your own thing. And to repent is to recognize that you are heading in the wrong direction, that you are a rebel that is running away from God. And what you need to do is change direction and realize that you are not able to make it on your own, that you can't be righteous, that you can't be holy, that your identity is not found in just what you decide to make up who you are. No, the identity that you really need to embrace is not one that you just invent, but the identity that you need to embrace is the one that has been given to you by God. And you'll only know that when you repent of trying to make it up on your own out there and realize that the author of life, the one who has given you breath, loves you, cares for you, wants to restore you, and wants to draw you to himself. And when you do that, he will give you the identity that can only be found in him. And when you receive that new identity in Christ, let me tell you this, you will be more joyful and complete than you've ever been in your whole entire life, because you're being who God has truly called you to be. That's why here at Belmont, we actually say we're a church that wants to help people be who God created them to be. Not just be whatever they want to become in life, right? Not whatever they determine. But we know that God loves you, cares for you, has a plan for you. Part of that plan is for you to repent of your sin, of your old way of life, and to live a life that's in the direction of Jesus. So let's read this passage about a call to repent. Verse 17 says this, "And now, brothers," now that I represented Jesus, "I know that you acted in ignorance," right? So it's not a real friendly message in some ways. He's just like, hey, I get it. What you did, you were kind of dumb, right? You messed up. "As did your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled." Next word, 15. "Repent, therefore." Turn around. Change your minds. Allow God to make you new in your thinking and in your actions. "Repent, therefore, and turn back that your sins may be blotted out. Blotted out, what does that mean? Well, they didn't have erasers back then, right? So blotted out, like if you wrote something down wrong, you would just kind of blot it out. You would just mark it away. And so what he's saying is this, is that you need to repent, turn around, turn back, so that your sins can be forgiven. So that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. You see, there's coming a time when God is going to restore all things. Here and now, we can see glimpses of that, like in this story of this lame man who had the opportunity to walk. He was restored. But not all things are restored right now in the moment. We can look around, just even with this virus situation that we're in, and realize this is not restoration. This is not the way things are supposed to be. But we see glimpses of God's grace even through this. But there is coming a time when God is going to restore everything to the way that it's supposed to be. And I don't know about you, but I'm really looking forward to that day. Let's jump down to verse 25. It says this, "You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your father, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And so God made this covenant with Abraham a long time ago, that saying basically, through your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And that was through Jesus. That's what's going to happen. "God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness." And then we see, if we go ahead and go on into chapter 4, you'll see there that thousands of people repent of their sin and come to know Jesus right there in that moment. It is a chance to repent, and they take that chance. If you're listening right now and you realize that things in your life are not the way they're supposed to be, if you're feeling lame, crippled, like in some kind of a way, whether it's physical, mental, spiritual, you realize that you have fallen short of God's ideal for you, and you're saying, man, I need restoration. My heart, mainly, is not what it should be. And I recognize that Jesus, he's the Son of God. He is the holy and the righteous one. He is the author of life, and he can give me the identity that I need in him, the identity that is my true identity. And what I want to do is repent and turn away from the thinking that says that I can just create myself in my own image, that in however I want to be, I'll just make it up and that's who I will be. That's not God's true identity for you. Instead, when you repent, the Bible tells us that you become a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become brand new. And he says, turn away every one of you from your wickedness. You know, you might be listening in on this and going, man, I don't feel like a wicked person. I mean, I'm not perfect, but I'm not wicked. Well, the Bible says that every person is actually lame from birth. That means that at the time of our birth, we are fallen. We are messed up. We are given to sin. We have a sin nature. Every single one of us is born away from God. And there needs to come a point in our life where we are spiritually reborn, so that we're not spiritually lame anymore, but now we're able to walk in a new way, that we can walk in the Spirit. So my prayer for you right now is this, is that if you don't know Jesus, that today you would take the opportunity to repent, to turn around from your rebellion and your wickedness against God, and that instead you would receive what he has for you. How do you do that? You do that by calling out to God, right? This guy was calling out for something that he did not know about. He was calling out for alms. He thought his problem was silver and gold, but your problem is not really all the little things in life that you think are not the way that you want them to be. Our biggest problem in life is that we don't have a relationship with God, and we need that to be restored. So you just call out to God and say, God, I realize that I am a rebel, I am wicked, I am, even in my thinking, the way in my fears and my anxiety or whatever it is for you, that I repent of all that and I'm calling out and trusting in the work of Jesus Christ. What work is that? Well, remember I said your identity, it's not achieved by your works. Instead, it needs to be received from God. You see, Jesus did the work. The Bible says that us, in our natural state, we're wicked. And we need a Savior. We need someone else to come, someone who's perfect, that's Jesus, to take our place, to provide forgiveness for you and me so that our sin, the penalty of our sin, can be paid for. And that is exactly what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you, because he loves you and wants to see you restored. Would you pray today and ask God to forgive you of your sin? And would you receive the new identity that he has for you so that you could be restored? Let me pray for you right now. Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for this history, for this story about how you healed this man and how you changed a lot of hearts. Lord, 5,000 people who were lame from birth spiritually were saved that day. And that's even more important than this man whose legs were restored. And so, God, I pray that all of us would remember today that we've been restored or that we need to be restored. And for those right now that need salvation from you, God, I pray that they would call out to you in Jesus' name and receive your healing and your forgiveness. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.